I'm joined right now by Sonny Osborne. And Sonny, what we're talking about, and we're just going to keep right on talking about this. We were talking about cars yesterday.
Yeah.
And I, this is Sonny on the phone now. I'll tell you how it happened is I was with my daughter, who's 24, and we were looking for a car, and she was looking at a used Prius. And, of course, Sonny's a Prius owner. So I called you right away, man. We were talking in the rain, and you were giving me pointers and a bunch of good stuff about that car. It was handy. It was handy having it. I thought, well, I'm going to call Sonny and talk to him about his car.
Well, I bought enough of them, I'm telling you. And I've got some lemons, and I've got some good ones. You can get stuff for the car awfully quick if you're not careful.
Well, this was pretty nice. I mean, we were talking right before we came on the air. I think it may have been in that flood up in the Hurricane Sandy. There were so many. But, you know, inside looked like yours. It had the little screen and everything. It's really cool stuff to look at. You know, I was sucked in right away because I remember sitting in yours out there, and I thought, yeah, man, this is it. We got a Prius. But I took it to a mechanic, and he said, no way.
Oh, I'll tell you, you just get ruined on one of those things in a hurry. But I tell you, that little Prius is a heck of a car, though. I've had that one of mine about a year and a half. I've got 36 or 37,000 miles on it, and I have absolutely not one problem with it at all. None. And that upwards of 50 miles a gallon, that's the only way you can beat them.
It's unreal. It's unreal.
It really is. And it's amazing to me that nobody else has made one that'll do that. But I'm happy with it. Anyway, I'll buy another one when this one goes.
Big enough for you, and it's big enough for you and a couple banjos.
Yeah.
Now you were when I called you yesterday. You were heading up to Frank Neat's. We're still working on banjos, and right now you're working on a banjo now. I guess you're just always fiddling with. What are you doing now? Working on a fourth string?
There's a friend of mine has got a put together banjo that the fourth string is just absolutely buzzing on, and I'm just trying to straighten it out a little bit for him. He's a good friend. I've known him since he was a kid, and I'm trying to get it straightened out a little bit for him.
There's nothing more irritating to a banjo player than a buzz.
No, that's as bad as it gets. Mm-mm. Almost.
And even though other people can't hear it, you can.
Oh yeah, well you feel it.
Yep.
You feel that in your hand more than anything else. That's what I could feel that strain rattle, and I thought, oh man, I can't stand that. It's just. But I think I've got this pretty well in hand. I know what's wrong with it now, anyway. So.
And there's so many things. Well, we had, of course, I had Charlie Cushman on last year, and there's just no way to, there's no definite answer as to how you stop a buzz from you just got to go all different approaches with adjustments. And.
Well, if you hit, you feel the fret and find out what fret is either low or there's one a little bit high. And if there's one a little bit high, there's such a thing called a fret file, of which I can't find mine right now, but you can take and file that fret out a little bit, my wife just come parading through here with a new purse.
Wait a minute, Judy, get on the phone. Let's talk about this purse.
She only had 4,000 of them, but other than that,
Well, it's early in the year yet, Sonny.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Oh, man. Yeah, we're worldwide. She comes straight through here with a pocketbook. So, anyway.
Oh, man.
Anyway, you've got to find that fret that's high, and then just take, there's this thing called a fret file, and you take and just file it down a little bit, or you can raise the bridge a shade. You can take a little tiny piece of paper and put under the string at the nut or at the bridge, and that'll usually solve the problem band-aid-wise. But if you want to fix the permanence, you just have to get into it and find out exactly what's caused it and then fix it from there.
Hmm. I'll tell you, it's not something I've ever wanted a toy with. And if I have a problem with mine, I take it somewhere because I just don't, you know, there's so many things, tension rods and the adjustment on the head and so many things raise the strings and lower the strings. Man, I just won't. Of course, I mean, I'm not able to do it, but I'd never try that.
Yeah, that's for sure. But Frank Mead has got the foolproof way to set one up right is you take the neck off and you trim the back of the heel of the neck. You trim that off to where it fits that rim exactly right, and it'll 9 out of 10 times be right. In Frank's case, 10 out of 10 times.
He is. You know what? And we were talking yesterday, and I need to do this. I got his number. I'm going to call him and get him on the show. Frank is one of the... He's one of the neatest guys. That's not a play on his name, but man, he just knows it, and he just tells you what the answer is. It's just such a nice, such a good guy.
He's built probably, oh my goodness, or repaired, I should say, more than probably 3,000 or 4,000 manuals. His lot.
He needs to have a video done because I took. I know what my chief had to be refretted. I don't forget how many first 8, 9, 10 frets here last year, maybe. And but I was talking to Ricky in the back of the shop there, and you know Ricky, we were just talking, and all of a sudden he's done. And his back was to me, but Frank is able to just sit at that little, you know, right where you go in the door to his place, and man, it was just like he doesn't even untake the strings off. It's just like arms flailing about, and I bet you he changed. I'll say 10 frets. I'll bet you in 15 minutes. I bet if it was that if it was that long.
Yeah, he's that good. He really is. He's just amazing, that guy is. For his knowledge, I've known Frank probably over 20 years, I guess. Much more than 20 years. I've known him, and he knows what he's doing. He just flat out knows what he's doing. That's all there is to it.
I gotta call him. I gotta get him on. He'd be fun. If I could get him and Ricky on a conference call. Then whenever I would ask Frank one of my lawyer questions, which is two paragraphs, and he'd say yes, well, then Ricky could take up the slack and just start talking about whatever come to mind.
Well, he'll do that now. Ricky can talk about anything. You name it, and he can talk about it.
Did you, you've talked to them about that Turtle Man show they did there in the shop?
Yeah, I did. That was a weird deal,
man. That was. I'm not going to give the plot away. But if people have ever seen that guy on TV that runs and catches snakes and turtles and stuff, they had a snake in the house down there in Frank Neat's little banjo workshop, or that's what the show was about.
Yeah. Well, I have an opinion about that.
I know.
I won't
put it too right. Frank, you know what? Ricky had a blast. Frank had a blast, and they got themselves a TV show out of it. And JD popped in at the end and played banjo with that Turtle Man Helper Man. I don't know what his name. I don't know any of their names. I just know they're out there doing catching animals and whatnot.
Anyway, you ever think the animal might not want to be caught?
Do what?
Did you ever think the animal might not want to be caught?
Yeah, but that would be a lousy show, though. Nobody would watch that.
I know that, but that's just, I've got a soft spot for animals. I've always had and always will have. Especially dogs. I really love dogs.
My dog was barking a little bit. She's been pretty good. She's on the other side of the house, but every once in a while she'll get something going on somewhere in her mind, and she starts hooting and hollering. But she's been pretty good through most of this show.
Yeah. Well, what's it doing up there weather-wise? It's cold here.
It's cold and just cold and gray, probably a little colder than what you got down there. But yesterday when I called you, golly, it was a miserable, rainy, snowy, sleet day. And that was the worst day in the world to go car shopping because you're stuck in traffic with people sliding around doing stupid stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's been kind of snow here all day, but it always just tries to snow. I mean, that's all it does here. It tries to snow. And it hardly ever does do the whole thing. And we get maybe one or two snows every 5 or 6 years or something like that. I mean, it's just hardly ever.
We had earlier on the show today, and this was just to me was a. I'll just tell you what happened earlier around 3 o'clock. Phil Ledbetter called in.
Oh yeah, yeah. Go player.
Oh, and great guy, and he just was declared. I guess you're certified cancer free, and he put up a fight for 2 years with cancer, and I told him before he'd come on. I said, you know, Phil, the way I do this is with anything somebody doesn't want to talk about, I don't talk about it, but whatever you want to do. And he spent a good half hour talking about surviving cancer and cancer treatment, and man, you talk about an attitude that'll lift your spirit for a long, long time. What a great, now he's cancer free now. He's back performing again, and just a great guy. He had cancer for 2 years and had every kind of treatment. Was really sick with different treatments, and you know what finally got him was stem cell.
That really,
yeah, it was a miserable. He spent like 30 something days. He was miserable. He had a great attitude. You know, he was a nurse back in Knoxville before he went ahead and went to music full time. But he stem cell research and replacement, and 30-something days, and that wasn't that long ago because Phil was trying every treatment available, and he did that, and he's been certified as being cancer-free, and he's back playing again, and boy, I'm telling you, it was an amazing interview. I'm still got tingles from talking to him about it because he has such a great attitude.
Well, he's a good guy on top of that.
Well, he is. He is, and it's hard to explain to people that the field they just heard for 40 minutes talking about surviving cancer and all the inspiration. That's pretty much what you get 24/7 when you run into the guy. He's just a regular guy.
That's really good news. That's the first I heard that. I knew he had cancer, but that's the first I heard that.
Well, he posted something about being back playing and with Dale Ann Bradley. And I'll tell you, here's how strange it was. It was 2 years ago. The last festival he played before he was diagnosed was Joe Vau Festival up in Northeast. So 2 years he hadn't played any. And he thought he had forgotten how to play. And he was kind of worried about it. He hadn't really played because he was too sick. The first time he appeared again public, first festival, was just recently at the Joe Vau Festival. That's how current this is.
Wow.
So I talk about putting a chill in you. I mean, the last one and the first one. And so now he's back again, and he's just busy as he can be, playing all over the place. He's got album projects in the works. And no secret, he said he's got one. He's going to put one together with musicians, a lot of bluegrass musicians he mentioned that are cancer survivors. They're going to do something sometime this year. Awesome. Yeah, and the whole band will mostly be cancer survivors.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Man.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it really is. If you say he's working with Dale Ann Bradley now?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Wow. Well, that is really good news. That really is. I'm glad to hear that. He's just a really good guy, Bill is. I've known him a long, long time, and he's just a good guy.
Well, when you see him somewhere, and I'll tell you, halfway through this, you thought, well, this guy should be just given, he should be given motivational, inspirational speeches somewhere. Then it occurs to you that that's what he's doing with his life anyway right now. You know, he'll never not talk about it. Before we got on the air earlier this week, I said, look, is there something, is it okay to talk about this? Oh, yeah, man, he feels like it helps him and helps people to listen to his story, and I'm telling you, it's if you meet him, he's gonna, and you want to know, he'll tell you, and it was amazing. It was just amazing.
Where's he living now? Do you know?
I'm not sure. I still think he's, for some reason, I'm always associating with Knoxville, but I don't know that he still lives there anymore, and I may be wrong on that.
Well, I know he lived in Knoxville for a long time. Then he went to work with J.D. Crowe, and I think he moved to Lexington. I'm not sure about that, but I thought he might have done that.
His phone number.
If he still lives in Lexington or back in Knoxville.
His phone number was a Tennessee number when it popped on my phone. You know, which he could have a cell phone and be in Oregon and call me to be Tennessee, but I believe he's living down there because we talked about the new football coach at Tennessee who they got from University of Cincinnati here, Butch Jones. So I think he's down there. I'm not sure exactly where, though.
Well, that's right. That did come from Cincinnati, didn't he?
Yeah, Butch Jones. He's gonna help that volunteer program out quite a bit. So I think he's a good coach. So Phil's all excited about that. He was, he was talking about the Tennessee-Florida game, and he was in the hospital during his stem cell stuff, which was like 30 days of real intense misery on his part. And he said he knew they were over there playing, but of course the stem cell. Yeah, absolutely. He had some bad times with treatment, and he tried everything they could. And his doctor was diagnosed with cancer at the same time. So he was going through cancer treatment the same time his cancer, his regular doctor was going through it.
Just
an amazing story. If you run into him somewhere out there, and you will, it was just amazing. Just his attitude is just phenomenal,
That really is amazing.
Yeah.
He's
living every day. He's living every day like a gift, which is what we all should do, really. If you think about it.
That's for sure. Well, I am so glad to hear that. That pleases me greatly.
Yeah, somebody here in the chat room is saying that he lives in, he might be down in the Smoky Mountain area, maybe around Gatlinburg.
I think that's close to Knoxville, but
yeah.
I think it's in Knoxville or somewhere right around in the general area of Knoxville.
Yeah.
I believe that's for sure. I think he lives there probably.
Well, that's where he grew up. He was in the Knoxville Grass Band when he was a teenager. They were pretty decent.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right. He's got a brother, too, that plays, doesn't he?
Well, I don't know if it's a brother. He's got a son. He's got a couple sons that play. Or maybe at least one son. Is Matt? Maybe Matt? I don't remember his son's name. But, yeah, someone's asking who's talking. This is Sonny Osborne. So they pop in and out of the thing, and right now on the show we're talking to Sonny Osborne and just catching up. We missed last week, I talked to James King after I talked to Phil Ledbetter, and then now Sonny's on the phone. And in between that, I sneak in different bits of music every once in a while.
An interesting thing about health. I had a stroke January the 6th, Earl's birthday, by the way. I had a stroke January the 6th in 2007. And I have not had the flu, a cold, or anything connected with that type of illness in that certain length of time until right now. And I've had a cold for the last 2 weeks. Isn't that amazing?
It is. That's why when last week you were just still, I knew you were under the weather from something, and some medication was kind of getting you down, and that's why we just passed on last week. But
I'm not as bad, but I've still got it. I mean, I've still got that congestion and all that stuff. But the funny thing about it is I haven't had any part of that for, 6 years?
Wow.
And then all of a sudden, it just comes back,
Oh, I wanted to tell you this. James King was on the show for a while till his battery died on his phone, but he didn't really know, I don't think, in advance that you were coming on, but he was talking about his influences and the music that he does, and he absolutely sang the praises of not just the Osmond Brothers Band, but, of course, he's a singer. So the vocal stuff that you did, Bobby and everything, he went on for uncontrolled for several minutes just talking about the Osborne Brothers. He listens to the box set all the time and just draws a lot of inspiration from that music.
I tell you an interesting thing about him. I've known James a long time, but we were in Knoxville. I got that on my brain. We were in Chippewa, North Carolina at that Bluegrass Festival several years ago, and I was still playing, so it's been a long time ago. And before the thing started, we started to go on, and he walked up to me and he said, "Do you think that it'd be possible if I could come out and sing a song with you guys?" And I said, "Well, of course, James, that'd be okay. Good. I'll call you up in a little bit." And we did. And he came out on the stage, and he and Bobby sang, "Little Cabin Home on the Hill" or something like that, and he cried.
No kidding.
He literally cried right there on the stage. He said, I never, never in my lifetime thought I would be able to stand on the stage and sing with Bobby Hartford. And big tears. It was amazing. But I think the world of James anyway.
He's a good guy. You know what? When he was talking about your guys singing and the Osborne Brothers, and of course I can't see the people I'm talking to. I know you pretty well, and I can kind of tell when you're smiling and when you're kidding me and when you're not. But he got real quiet when he started talking about some of those influences, and he was talking about the singing, and he did not mention his phone died. His phone died. His battery died out on him, and he'll call back. He's got a new album he's going to work on, but he got a little quiet. And now that you mention that, it may have been just for that reason that he still appreciates it. And he told a story about being in the back of a pickup truck with John Duffy, and he has to sing with John Duffy, and it blew him away. And I mean, he seems to take all that to heart. Pretty nice guy.
Well, he gets emotional now. I mean, he does that. He's intense, and his intensity shows, and he gets emotional about it. I mean, it's a big part of his being. I mean, that's all there is to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, buddy, it's 59.
You stay right on that clock, don't you?
Yeah.
All right.
I know how it is. When you got to go off, you got to go off.
All right, buddy. Hey, listen, I'll talk to you. Thanks so much for the car talk yesterday. I appreciate it.
All right.
All right. All right. Okay. We'll get back. Sonny Osborne. All right.